Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. Back in our Father's Word, we're going to finish the book of Romans today. The ABCs of the Gospel. Paul giving the salutation here in the 16th chapter. It's kind of important that you note the names that he mentions, those that do the church work. Even back at the time of Paul's time. And certainly, we have many people that wonder, the important thing is when God calls somebody, I don't care who they are, to serve, they're going to serve. But let us always give credit where credit's due. That way you obtain God's blessings doing it God's way. Chapter 16, the great book of Romans, and verse 1, let's go with it. It reads, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Now, what this means is, Phoebe means bright or pure. And she's the one taking this letter to Rome. Paul trusted her for that. So, let's read on here another verse, verse 2. That you receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints. Whoa, that means a set aside one. That's one of, like a remnant of God's elect. And that ye assist her in whatsoever businesses she hath need of you, for she hath been a secure of many, and of myself also. Now, it's important that you analyze, let's take that word, secure. What exactly does that mean? What did this Phoebe do in the church? Well, secure in the Greek tongue is prostatus, from the prime of proistemi. It means to stand in front of. Well, let me see a moment. Now, who stands in front of the church? One that's teaching. Okay. One that's leading. So Phoebe was a leader in the church. Now, I know that maybe upsets a few pastors that always try to put women down. You can't go there. God uses whomever he chooses. Just because there is one little, when people are uneducated in the manuscripts and it says a woman should be silent in the church, and that word silent in the Greek tongue is chatter. Woman, man, child, nobody's supposed to chatter in the church. Phoebe was not a chatterer. She was a protestus. She was a leader. She was a teacher. And with her abilities, Paul says, I've even learned from her. She's even helped me. She secured me. So you want to be careful when you start judging people. Kind of leave whom God calls, God will use. Verse 3 to continue. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Now, why would Paul put Priscilla's name first? Her husband's name is Aquila. And you would find also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 19, that Paul calls Priscilla Prisca. It's why? Because she was the one teaching in the family. Aquila assisted her. Again, I'm saying this might upset some people, but the word is the word, and the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have Priscilla, who was a fantastic teacher. Verse 4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks? I mean, they stuck their necks out for me. Priscilla as well as Aquila. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. They were fantastic workers in the church of the nations. Verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. I mean, they had a church right at home. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. And so it is that, verse 6, greet Mary. Here's another girl who bestoweth much labor on us. Marian was a great helper to the group. Verse 7, salute Androniacus and Junia, another female, my kinsman. Paul had Roman kin. Why? Because his father was a Roman citizen. And my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. These were not prisoners from robbing a bank or anything of that nature. They were prisoners because of teaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, greet Amphilus, my beloved in the Lord. Verse 9, salute Urban. And here we have a Latin name, which would be Roman, okay? Our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Verse 10, salute Alpelus. And here we have a Greek name. Approved in Christ, salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. The whole house, salute them. And here we have this salutation, and taking note, what a beautiful book, this book of Romans, that all are remembered, and where credit is given, credit is due. Verse 11, salute Herodian, that's a hero type, my kinsman, greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. And those that serve him, greet them, let them know. Verse 12, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Do you know? Those are two women. Those are female names. Who labor in the Lord. They do what? They labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Paris, which labored much in the Lord. That's Persian. So you see how many different names have gathered in. Greek, Roman, Persian, with the Latin, of course. All gathered in and all working for our Heavenly Father. Verse 13, salute Rufus. There again, another Latin name. Chosen in the Lord and his mother and mine. And Paul was claimed her as a second mother, spiritually speaking, and was quite fond of her in the work that she did in serving the living God. Again, you know, this entire gospel, the ABCs of the gospel, how to bring it forth, how through this word comes faith, and faith by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. The word produced by these citizens, these that labor in the church. A church is a place where God's word is brought forth, and apparently multi-languages being served in that ministry, whereby many were enabled to take that word then back to their own people so that the word was taught in more languages than one, whereby, again, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God with understanding. Verse 14, salute Asyncritus and Pelagon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute them all, and give a shout out to them that we care. Verse 15, salute Philologus and Julia. There's another female, Nereus, and his sister. These, of course, would have been workers in that church. And Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. And many of these called saints, set aside ones. Why? Because they loved the Lord. Because they were in the Lord's Word. And if you ever need direction, if you ever need a touch from our Heavenly Father, where does it come from? It comes through faith. And this is why when Christ prays for someone, he says, I will pray that you have faith. Because if you have faith, the word will come alive for you because you're a believer. And when you believe that word, you put it into practice in your life. That's what's important, that you put it to practice in your life, whereby even living that life, it sets an example for others that they see and that they hear, and they are drawn to it. Why? Because everyone wants the blessings of God, and the blessings of God come forth. You know, when you follow God's command, it brings blessings. You go against, as this word is brought forth, laying the law out even from the beginning, of how that you're supposed to stay away from perversion. And when you have states that vote perversion in, there's going to be hurricanes, northeasters, there's going to be all sorts of things that are going to come in, and they're going to wonder, why? Why are we having these unusual things happen to us? And they never for one moment realize it's from that God is in control. And you need to pay attention to him. Verse 16, he continues, salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. This is a Christian hug as we practice today, and it continues. Verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. This is very important. It's very specific. It's especially direct in the language. What does this mean? Well, when you start a ministry, you want to be very careful what comes into it. Make sure that the doctrine is the doctrine that God brings forth, not perversion, not somebody else's teaching saying, well, perversion's okay. No, do you know what this word mark means? It's important that you know. We'll just spend a moment on it here. The word mark here is in the Greek tongue is skopio. And it basically means the same thing in Greek as it does in English, to scope. You put the magnifying glass to it. You put the magnoscope to it. And you observe them that closely. If they come bringing some different doctrine, some different way, you better get the scope on it. That's what that mark. You mark it well. You scope it out. You observe. And you observe what they're bringing in. Heresy, trouble. You know, how do you handle trouble? You nip it in the bud. You get rid of it. That's why he said, avoid them. That you have nothing to do with that. The word of God is sufficient unto itself. You do not need some expert to come along and add to the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not need someone to add to the doctrine that Christ brought forth in setting a path in the simplicity of serving him and letting Satan go hang himself. You do not give Satan the time of day. So you mark or scopio, you scope them out real good. Especially if it's somebody that already has the mark of the beast. That is to say, that are full of deception and have been misled, mistaught, and are looking for a flyaway any moment or something, rather than staying in the field as these people have doing God's work. standing in before, leading, guiding, and directing. And so that's a very stern warning there, and very specific when it comes to, you put the magnifying glass to it, you scope it, you analyze it. That's not to mean that you're judging someone. It means when you see something wrong, fix it. Verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. The simple means those that are innocent, that they're hungry, they want to be taught. So you want to make sure you don't let a false teacher claim to be one of the gospel, bringing forth the gospel. That's the good news. The good news is that God saves us through the Son, not some man. Okay, God didn't send some man as Savior here and to bring a whole new message. He gave us the message of old, and God is the same yesterday, He is today, and He shall be forever. So there are innocent ears among you. Make sure that they're not dented, or certainly their innocency is not carried away by false teaching and false doctrine. You know, when you allow false doctrine into a church, especially if it has to do with the end times, you defer, and Satan has won, because you're not going to make a stand against the false one, because you don't even know. When you've been mistaught as what is commonly the main misleader of all things, you don't even know that the false Christ comes first. So you're not in any position to stand before, or to help lead, or to help direct souls into the true Christ, not the fake. So Satan has a heyday with that. He loves it and makes his day. So you want to always protect the innocent. For if you are one that leads, if you are one that God is showing the truth, then He gave it to you not to be selfish with, but to share. Let's go with the next verse, please. Verse 19, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. I want you to know, be wise to the input, to the innocent, concerning evil, how evil can slip in if you're not careful. Verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, there's a lot of teaching in that if you'll receive it. Now, why would Paul... What was that again? And the God of peace? Well, who is this? The God of peace is our Father. Shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. How is it? Why would God allow that to be taught when we're going to fly away? Or let me rephrase that. If you were going to fly away, why would God say you're going to bruise Satan under your feet shortly? Do you know what it would mean if you had not understood that verse? You would have to go all the way back to the beginning of Genesis. In chapter 3, verse 15... to know what it meant to breathe Satan under your feet. To know your duty. To know the plan of the day. If you don't have a copy of the plan of the day through this word, you're in a heap of hurt. Because you don't know where to go, what to do, or which direction, or who's who. So, let's see if we can analyze, because God told us in the beginning what that statement meant, repeated by Paul. Chapter 3, the great book of Genesis, verse 15. I'll read it to you. And God speaking, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. That's between Satan and Eve. And between thy seed and her seed. That's to say, between your children and her children. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We're going to put his head right under our feet. And so it is. And that was the first prophecy coming out the gate. And naturally, how did he bruise the heel? They nailed Christ's heel to the cross. And we shall in the end, as the church, the many-membered body of Christ being the head, we will bruise Satan, because Christ gave us power over him in teaching the truth, the true message. To know, well, how are we supposed to do that? Well, he's told you over and over. Then he continues on. The next verse, please, in this great last chapter, 21. Timotheus, or Timothy as we call him, my work fellow, and Lucius, you know who Lucius is? That's Luke, the writer of Luke, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsman, salute you. We all do. And here, we're going to find out who's writing this, who's the scribe for Paul in writing this. Paul rarely ever wrote his own work. Why? Because his sight, I believe, was very bad after he made that trip with God. And he usually had a scribe that wrote. Of course, Paul did the speaking. Tertius, that's the correct pronunciation of this name in the Greek, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. And so he's the writer of it. But Paul usually gives the salutation. That's the completion. 23, Gaius, mine host and of the whole church, salute you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, salute you. And Quartus, a brother. Verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Hey, it doesn't get any better than that. If the grace, that's the unmerited favor of the Lord Jesus Christ is with you, then it's going to be well. Why? Because when you repent, even though you don't merit it, he grants you forgiveness and favor. Favor, well, I'm not very good at this, Lord. Well, in his favor, he'll make you good at it. He will assist you whereby you get the point across. You may be very awkward and very clumsy in it. And yet at the same time, he will elevate the thought and the way and the path because of his grace. That's to say, his unmerited favor. Why? If he loves you, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be near you. Verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now see, there Paul has placed in another obstacle to some. What is he talking about? What is this mystery ere the world began? That takes us all the way back to the first earth age. How can we explain that? Well, it's real simple, the teachings of Christ. Explain it. In Mark chapter 13, that is a mystery from the foundation of the world. It goes back to Matthew chapter 13, verse 35. What does it say? that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. That word in the Greek, the noun is katabo. It means the overthrow. These things are secret from the overthrow of Satan in the first earth age. And it's the fulfillment thereof. That should get your attention if you're a true leader of a church, if you're a true leader of your family, if you're a true leader of your own very soul, to see that you scope out the Word of God with clarity and understanding. Verse 36. And then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares. What are you talking about, Lord, kept secret from the beginning of the world? Verse 37. And he answered and he said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Almighty God. He created, the Son of Man is Christ in the flesh, and if you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. He brought forth all the souls into this earth age, not the first. Verse 38, the subject is this earth age. Listen to it carefully. 38, the field is the world. Now, that's not complicated, is it? The field that we were talking about, that seed being sown, it's this world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's God's children. No mistaking that. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, let me see. The tares symbolize the wicked one's children. Okay, that's not complicated. This was kept secret from the foundation of the world? Yes, it was, up to many. Verse 39, let's see if he gives us an answer. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Oh, now, wonder what he really means there. He means exactly what he says. Don't you ever go around trying to translate what God makes clear through the mouth of Christ especially. He said, he that planted them was the devil, period. End of story. The devil planted them. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. That, of course, is after the very millennium, that God loves his children enough that he will wait until the end of the millennium, because there will be much teaching in that day of the Lord. Which, how long is a day with the Lord? Well, it's 1,000 years. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. They're going to be taught the truth. Well, why was this kept secret? Well, so that God could know who's going to choose him over Satan. If somebody does not love our Father enough to scope his word, to look at it, to analyze it, in the simplicity that he brings it forth. Well, he makes it so complicated sometimes. Complicated that the devil planted seed on this earth. And God himself, way back in the beginning, said, I'm going to put enmity between your seed, that's the serpent seed, and the woman's seed, that's the Kenites, and God's children. That's no great mystery. There's no mystery to it if you scope it out. If you look at it. If you analyze God's word, to know that there is wickedness in the world, it comes basically from Satan, but he has workers. And you best know who they are, and you best know how to evaluate and have the grace of God, the unmerited favor, with you, so that you receive the blessings and the knowledge and the wisdom in the simplicity. God's word is never complicated. True wisdom is to take that man musters and simplify it whereby a child can understand. That's the true word of God, in the simplicity for the innocent, whereby they can understand God loves his children And he doesn't want Satan messing with them. So you will either listen to the word of God and follow him, or you'll probably listen to some yo-yo that'll tell you you're going to fly away somewhere. It's not written in God's word, but they'll still do it. And you'll probably worship the first Messiah that comes along. Unfortunately, it's the wrong one. It's the Antichrist. That's what Paul, this same writer, would tell you in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he says, when I talk to you about our gathering back to Christ, it's not going to happen until after the son of perdition, Satan, the sower of the wicked seed, stands in the holy place claiming to be God, coming to fly people away. How many people are geared to receive truth? How many people are geared to receive the simplicity of the message of the living God? Well, it's real simple to answer: those that have ears to hear and those that have eyes to see. Now, continuing on in this 16th chapter of the great book of Romans, verse 26. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all the nations for the obedience of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That those scriptures would be taught throughout the world. That those scriptures, that truth, would come forth. One more verse to finish the book. Verse 27. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And naturally, this would be taken by Phoebe to Rome to be shared by the church there. How precious the book of Romans. How simple the ABCs of God's word. That through hearing that word, your faith is strengthened, whereby you have the simplicity of that truth that you are not deceived, and you shall put Satan under your feet and overcome in victory forever through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, book of Romans, hope you enjoyed it. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number, good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Mexico, and good for Alaska, Hawaii, and all of Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination. We're not going to judge people. God is the judge. He does not need our help. You know, he's been doing it for a long time. He's real good at it. Let him do it. You have the right to spiritually discern truth from untruth. And you go with that. You'll always be blessed when you pick truth. Now, those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer, at the end of the hour, will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure. Got a prayer request? You don't need the number. Don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. He does. You need to share that with him. You need to let him know you love him. That's what he wants more from you than anything else, is your love. That's why he created you, for his pleasure. So let him know that you love him and make your petition and listen to him. Pray for wisdom of his word. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and I will announce, Dennis is going to take over for a while and take a book, and I hope you enjoy it. I'm going to take a little tractor time and get the place laid by for the winter, and you don't anyone need to ask, well, is he okay? I'm dandy fine, God's good, and we're all good. Okay, question time. James from California. Wow, you do offer a lot of CDs. Well, I've been teaching a lot of years, all right. What was the name to use for Father when praying for financial blessing? Yahweh Jireh. I mean, that's if you really, that is the biblical name of the God that provides, okay? Jackie from New York. In my King James Version, Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 20, it is worded just a little bit different than how you say it, but it means the same as you teach it. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillars, wherewith you there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. It doesn't say anything about tearing anything from knuckles. Now, you have to go to the manuscripts. You know, people have tried to change certain people, Kenites, of course, to change these scriptures. The scripture prior to that 20th verse that says that kerchiefs, the word actually in the Hebrew is bands, to all armholds. The word armholds is not in the Bible. I should say manuscripts. The word armholds is not there. Even if you look in your Strong's Concordance, look up the word armhold, it's blank. Well, because it wasn't there. What was there? I'm going to do it for you. You have two words for the word armholds in the manuscripts. The first one is 679 in your Hebrew manuscripts. And I'm going to say it again, 679. It is atel. And what it means is it means joints or knuckles. And the second part of it is yod. Now, well, what is yod? Yod, to start out with, is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and it's shaped like this. You know why? Because it means hand. Yod means hand, but yod, as it is used in 30:27, write it down, 30:27. It not only means yod, hand, it means open hands. Then what is God saying? I'm against you that sew bands that try to cover my outreached open hands, every knuckle of them, their saving hands, and teach people to fly to save their souls when God is there to save them all the time. I'm going to repeat this so that there's no error. Those of you that would like to go a deeper study into it, if it is worth your time, and if you can, your Hebrew manuscripts in the Green Centennial, go to Ezekiel chapter 13, and it will lay it out for you, these Hebrew words, where you can read it for yourself. Okay, there's no need in one being deceived in these end times. So I'll say the numbers again. First would come 679. That's every joint and every knuckle of God's outreached hands for salvation. What God is saying, don't mess with my saving arms to teach some doctrine that's false. Okay, it's that simple. Now, you buy you an NIV Bible, and now it doesn't even talk about teaching your souls to fly. It talks about birds flying. How did that happen? I mean, seriously, ask yourself a question. How did it happen that God's word was changed from God's outreached every knuckle, saving arms and hands, to birds flying? Who would do a thing like that? I would hope you would know Satan's actions through his children. The children we were speaking of earlier in the close of Matthew chapter 13, I'll let you know. Kendall, age 9, from Oklahoma. Why did Judah and Israel split up? Thank you for teaching my mom and dad and myself Jesus' word. Well, you are so welcome, Kendall. The reason they were split up is the 10 northern tribes were taken captive by the Assyrian. He left the other two stay, and he took captive the 10 northern tribes, which makes up the house of Israel. The two southern tribes, Judah, was left, and that became the house of Judah. And they would be taken captive 200 years later by Nebuchadnezzar. Loretta from Tennessee, and question. You spoke of adultery with crops. Well, it's where you're not supposed to plant cucumbers by cantaloupe. Well, why would you plant cucumbers by cantaloupe? They'll cross. It's God's word that you're supposed to plant your crops. You know, one of the best agriculture books written is God's word. It really tells you how to. Adultery means to mix. Okay, and you're not supposed to mix crops. You spoke of hybrids in the first earth age, but said there was no flesh. There were no hybrids in the first earth age. The hybrids came in this earth age when the Nephilim, fallen angels, impregnated the daughters of Adam, and Geber were born, giants. Those were the hybrids, okay? Are we living the mark all our life when you say the first in the field are taken by Satan? Well, if you're one of the first ones in the field taken by Satan, you certainly got his mark. It means to be deceived by false teaching. You see, Satan's message is, I've come to haul you away. And unfortunately, people are not taught that we've got to make a stand against him. Mike from Indiana, I have been to many churches listening to many preachers on television and radio. I've read a ton of Christian books, and most of which led to confusion. You, sir, have inspired me to study for myself, and in so doing have brought me to the knowledge of the truth. I love you, and I pray for you every day. God bless you and all that those around you. Well, we have a fantastic crew, and it is God's word that does it. It's complete. And if people teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, then it blesses everyone because it strengthens everyone. Thank you for your comment. Helen from Illinois. I have learned more from your teaching than I did going to church. You're the best. Well, thank you. The word is the best. Okay. In Genesis 6:14, Noah made the ark out of gopher wood. What kind of wood is that? No one knows exactly gopher wood, but we do know one thing from the language. It was a resinous wood. So you got pine and you got cypress. It would be one of that family, pine or cypress, that he made the ark. Janice from Louisiana. Why is there a place of hell when the scripture tells us the wages of sin are death in Romans 6:23 and Ecclesiastes 9:5, the dead know not anything? You see, you are a little bit confused by not understanding the scripture. You're supposed to rightly divide the word of God. It is true that Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 15, the dead know nothing. They're never heard of again. They're gone. But what dead is it talking about? That's to rightly divide the word. You've got to identify what it is that is dead and is gone. It's the flesh body. It's not your spiritual body. It simply means that your flesh body goes back to dirt from which it came. You're through with it. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't know anything. This is why that ninth chapter starts out by saying a living dog is better than a dead lion. Because, you know, a lion is supposed to be king of the jungle, king of the animal kingdom here. But if he's dead, he's a chunk of meat going back to dirt. Okay? And the dog's still got metabolism going. So you see, you're not rightly dividing the word of God. Go on then in this same book of Ecclesiastes, which is written to the man in the flesh that walks under the sun, telling you how to be happy in these flesh bodies and find wisdom and understanding. When you go on to that 12th chapter, it states very clearly there that as soon as this flesh dies, the silver cord parts, your spiritual body goes back to the Father from whence it came. Elsie from Alabama, I have a handicapped son that is 52 years old that does not talk and has never been baptized. Does he need to be baptized? He's in his innocency. He is fine. You baptism is something that a person that is sound must make their own individual mind up about. If we were to take somebody that did not understand what baptism was about and dipped them 100 times, it would not be worth anything, because that person did not make their own mind up to be baptized. But God understands, and he's covered in innocency. You don't have to worry about it, okay? Donna from Arkansas. Pastor, my sister wants to know about Satan being a cherubim. Could you please give me scripture so I can show her Father's truth? I pray in Jesus' name, amen, and thank you for all you do. You are so welcome. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 13 and 14. You will find God speaking to Satan. He's called the king of Tyrus and then the prince of Tyrus. In the day that God created him, it says, he made him the full pattern. But then in that 14th verse, he will say, you are the cherub that covereth. Meaning he was a cherubim that was supposed to cover the mercy seat. Okay? That's where it's written. Charles from West Virginia, what is your belief on unwed mothers dedicating their children to God? It's beautiful. You see, Charles, you are misunderstanding what a mamzar is. A mamzar is you know, the sins of a parent doesn't fall off on the child. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 29. There's no way that sin will fall off on you and a child. But and so what you need to do is take your Strong's Concordance and go to Deuteronomy 22, check out the word that's got you all messed up there, and it'll tell you a whole lot. You can find it out for yourself. God does not discredit anyone, even a Kenite. That's a child of Satan. If they change and love the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, become a child of God. Pillar from Texas. My fiance has a problem. My question is this. He wants to know, is it that easy to make a pact or deal with Satan just by calling out to him, or is there more to it than that? Thank you. In other words, he made a cry out to Satan, and you're worried about it. If you're a Christian, you've got power over Satan. Anything you might have said in ignorance is forgivable. So repent for having said it in the first place, and tell Satan to get out of your life. You've got power over him. You tell your fiancé to read Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 18 and 19. If he believes the Lord gives him power over all of his enemies. Use it. You know, stand up and be the man and use it. You know, tell Satan to get out of your life and don't be gentle about it. Get him out. Elizabeth from California, Matthew chapter 13, verse 41. Could you please explain that verse in reference to what it says, all things that offend? Well, isn't it strange? We were teaching that in today's lecture when I went to the 13th chapter of Matthew and told of Satan planting seed here on earth. And then in my closing statement, I said, the tares are not gathered until the end of the millennium. At the end of the millennium, if the tares do not accept Christ at the teaching of the election through that thousand-year period, they're going to hell. But God is a loving God. He's going to give them every opportunity to change where they are not offenders. But if you're still offending at the end of that thousand years, you're a goner. Okay, Ann from Arizona, what does the Bible say about persecution? Why does this happen to some more than others? Well, you need to, you know, read God's word, ask his blessings, but don't let people persecute you. Don't go around people that persecute you necessarily. Be wiser than the serpent, but as gentle as a dove. Kevin from Pennsylvania. When a person is called to serve the Lord and then when they return, he is rebuked by his family, can he still go to heaven? Well, your family doesn't have the say-so of whether you go to heaven or not. Only God can decide that. Only God is the judge of all things. Kevin, I have no idea what you mean of when you were called to serve the Lord and you returned. That something is minus there for me because it's an honorable thing to do. But I would... Your family rebuking you has nothing to do with your going to heaven. No, that's in God's hands. John from Louisiana, is cremation okay according to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 5 through 52? Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with cremation. We were talking earlier about the book of Ecclesiastes. These flesh bodies go back to dirt. It doesn't matter how they get there. We're done with them. You have, according to 1 Corinthians 15, two bodies. Your spiritual body returns to the Father. These flesh bodies, which we borrow to just be here in, go back to dirt. Why was Christ resurrected in this physical body? He was resurrected in a transfigured body. There's a difference. Transfigured. Read about the Mount of Transfiguration and understand it, that Moses and Elijah were there with him in transfigured bodies. Richard from Georgia. What scriptures are there that warn us about how eventually we lose our rights as given in the U.S. Constitution, especially open worship? We're not going to do that. There is nowhere we're going to lose our right to worship as we see fit because we're Americans. And many of us have fought, many of us have shed blood. Yours truly has shed blood defending this nation and our right for freedom to worship as we choose, even to the point that I have license to broadcast around the world. I paid a price for that, not myself personally, but many men and women have. So we're not going to let it happen. We're a strong people. Nobody is going to take that away from us. Nobody. Mary from Georgia, where does it say Moses grave can't be found, because I have read otherwise in the Old Testament where the grave is? No, you haven't. You have read in Deuteronomy chapter 34 along about verse 6 that God buried him near, in a certain valley. But then at the same time, as you read the book of Job, even Satan can't find his grave because nobody knows. And yet, at the same time, remember, Moses was transfigured. God wouldn't let man touch him. Man didn't bury Moses. And that should tell somebody a lot. Anita from Florida, is it wrong to salute the flag and bow down to another god? It is an honor to salute the flag of the United States of America if you're in uniform, if you're on duty. You salute that flag. It is not bowing down. It is showing respect to all that has gone on before us, of the people that have fought, even back to the 13 colonies original. all the battles and all the wars and all the people that have fought to give us these freedoms of religion to worship the true God, not some other God. There's no connection between the two. Rodney from Florida, where in the Bible does it say, why do the wicked prosper? You know, I think if you listen to my teaching a great deal, you know that if you have a companion Bible, in the 37th Psalm, there is an acrostic. There are three verses set aside that answer the question, why does it seem like the wicked always get ahead? You find out in that acrostic that they're going to smoke on a pit into smoke and go up forever and ever. They're not going anywhere. Okay, I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. Hey, you know what? When you read His letter and love it, it makes His day. And when you make God's day, boy, is He going to make yours. You can count on it. It pleases Him greatly. Let Him know you love Him. Won't you do that? We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? You bless God. He will always bless you. Now, most important, though, you listen to me. You listen good. You stay in His Word every day. And His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the